Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, October 25th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 5, page 63, in How It Works, starting with the fourth paragraph, beginning with, "We launched out on a course of rigorous action." We'll be reading this one paragraph only, and it ends on top of page 64 where it says we had to get down to causes and conditions. So we'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Gracie D. for the 12 steps, Des M. for the 12 traditions, and readers of our text are Don B., Julie E. B., and Jordan L. Our newcomer greeter today is Janice P.M., and Reggie O. is for our announcements, and Lynn S. has been kind to record this meeting. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, October 24th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,570. That's 13570. And the share ID for our Friday, October 25th, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting this morning is 13,572. That's 13572. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Gracie D., I hope you're there, Gracie, to read our 12 steps of OA. Gracie?
Good morning, Gracie D. I'm here.
Yay.
From a compulsive overeater in California, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, I pass.
And thank you, Gracie D., for being of service this morning. And Des M., please read the 12 traditions. Des?
Hi, good morning, my fellows. This is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from California, and these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you, Des M., for reading our 12 traditions. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And that does include your mute button on your phone. Please don't use that and use the star 1 to mute and unmute. We'd appreciate that way. We have a nice quiet meeting. And we appreciate your cooperation on that. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. And we're in Chapter 5, How It Works, on page 63, the fourth paragraph, beginning with, next we launched out on a course of rigorous action. And we're going to read through that one paragraph only, and it ends on top of page 64 with, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. And comments will be on that one paragraph. So, would Dawn B. please start reading? Dawn?
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered from Southern California. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to the causes and conditions. Well, this is an exciting paragraph. And it starts out very much with a picture of action. Next, we launched. So when you launch, you know, you think of a rocket launching or a boat launching. There's no turning back. Once this process is engaged, you're basically going from one state, a state of, you know, being in no motion at all, to a vigorous motion that then is continued onto a new level of existence. And this is exactly what we're doing with our programs. We have just taken the third step prayer. We have decided we're going to continue on and do the rest of the steps. We've turned our will and our lives over to the care of a power much greater than we are. And with complete abandon, we now launch into a vigorous course of action. And this course of action, It describes it as it is to be vigorous, and it is also one that's going to be continuing throughout the rest of our lives. And that is where we're going to be looking at ourselves. We're going to be looking at what it is that's causing us to have problems in our lives. What's blocking us from our higher power? What's causing us to not completely give ourselves? What has been holding us back in the past of giving ourselves completely over to a power much greater than ourselves so that we can be used to be built into a design and a plan that is our higher power's design and plan. So it's kind of like walking into a dark room that we've done habitually and stumbling over things that are in our way, you know, trying to go through from point A to point B and stumbling, hitting our toes and whatever. And so now what we're going to be doing is we're going to be turning on the lights and we're going to be seeing what is it that's blocking us. What is it that's causing me to have problems, to live a life that's, you know, locked in disease and in addictive way of acting, destroying lives around me and destroying my own life? What is that? And so we're taking a clear look today. We're launching out on a program of personal house cleaning, of finding those things that have been in our way, those character defects. And we're going to be lifting those up and asking our higher power to remove those. And this is a course of vigorous action, not something that's done slowly. And that's what I loved about doing the steps most recently, is that it's done, a process that's done quickly. It's like taking a Band-Aid and ripping it off real quickly rather than the slow over months or years, you know, ripping this. No, it's done quickly so it can have the most benefit and the most effect. And it's a wonderful thing. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn B., for getting us started. So just reminding you, we're in Chapter 5, How It Works. We're on page 63. We're going to comment on the fourth paragraph. We launched out on a course of rigorous action. So who would like to share on this particular reading this morning?
Kara L.
Was that Kara with a C?
Yep.
Gotcha, Kara.
K-A-R-A.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got Bruce E.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Des M.
Des, got you.
Randy M.
I'm sorry.
Randy M.
Is that Brandy?
Yeah.
Brandy M. Gotcha, Brandy.
Yep.
We'll take one more.
Mary Jane Z.
Mary Jane Z. Got you, Mary Jane Z. Okay, so here's our lineup. Kara L., Bruce E., Christina J., Des M., Brandy M., and Mary Jane Z. All right, Kara L., please start.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach, California. Boy, I really love this paragraph, and I think I say that every single time we read, right? Because I'm just finding, being in this step study together, I'm finding such new insight, taking it a paragraph at a time and really, really ingesting what the big book has to teach me. And that course of vigorous action that was just spoken about. And for me, it was like, oh, I'm starting this fourth step. But today, it's just like, no, I'm just looking for things that are blocking me from being in conscious contact with my higher power. And it says right there, you know, we had and be rid of things in ourselves which had been blocking us. And if I look at it that way, and I love how it says liquor was but a symptom. My food was just but a symptom, right? And so with entire abstinence, I get that symptom out of the way. And then I have to know that there's a higher power. And then I have to make that decision and say, okay, God, you're in charge. And now I gotta be able to communicate with that higher power in some way through, you know, inspiring thought, intuition, you know, asking for decisions. And how do I hear better? Well, I hear better and I get those thoughts better when I've cleared up things that are blocking me. And so I have to look for those things that are blocking me. And how do I do that? Well, I work the steps, right? This is the first, you know, the first go around. But then after that, once I'm recovered, how do I do that? Well, I continue to work the steps. I continue to use the design for living. I when things, you know, I wake up, I, oh, My behavior wasn't so great. Well, let me write up a 10th step. Let me do 4 through 12 again in a small. Let me reach out to a fellow and reach out to my higher power and say, God, I'm in this character defect. Please remove it from me. Please remove my fears and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And then I let it go. And I ask, and I listen for that direction. And I do the best I can with it. That intuitive thought that comes, that thing that just seems to happen, things that get easier that were so difficult, and I go with it. And today I get the benefit. I get to be in conscious contact with my power. I get to have food neutrality. I get to see that my relationships are clearing up and becoming easier. And I get to see where I get to be of service now and everything, that I get to bring my high power's will into the world. And that's truly a blessing. So thank you for everybody being on the meeting today. Everybody is important. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you for everybody giving service today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kara L. And Bruce E., you're up, followed by Christina J. Bruce, good morning.
Yeah, thanks. Good morning. And appreciate everybody on the line, everybody doing service. And this is neat here where it says, next we launch on a course of action, vigorous action. So let's see, previous to this, right, it's been steps 1, 2, and 3. So that's kind of those, we all know those are vital, important steps, but that's been a lot of sitting around talking about stuff and praying, right? Isn't that what it's been? In steps 1, 2, and 3, we're reading this literature, we're talking about it, and we're praying. And we've done the third step prayer. And so we've done that, even though that's vitally important, we've done all the sitting around talking and praying. All right, now we're going to start doing something. I got to get up, I got to get up and start doing something here. And that's what it means, I think, launched out on a course of vigorous action. I got to take action. I got to do something. Now I got to, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to start writing out my inventory in step 4. It's getting me around to doing that and then sharing it with my sponsor in step 5, looking at my sponsor in the face and having to read all this stuff or talk about all this stuff to my sponsor. All right, that's step 5. So, excuse me. And then in addition to that, what else does it talk about? It says that followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which have been blocking us. Well, what's been blocking me? Well, all this junk from my past that comes out in step 4, that's been blocking me. All the skeletons in the closet, that all comes out. Get rid of all that. Bring that in the sunlight of the spirit. But then what about the stuff in step 6 that's blocking me? The fear, resentment, ego, negative thinking, judging. See, all that stuff's blocking me. So that stuff's going to come out. So I think he's talking about, we're going to go into step 6 and make a list of all that stuff, all that junk, and then we're going to share that with our sponsor. We're going to do the 7-step prayer, and we're going to pray about that, and we're going to ask God to remove all that stuff. So we are launched out. We are launching ourselves on a vigorous course of action here, which is going to help us to have the obsession and compulsion be relieved of the food addiction that we've been sucked up into. Our liquor has been but a symptom. Food was just a symptom. All this other junk is the stuff that's got to go. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Brucey. Christina J., you're up, followed by Des M. Christina, good morning.
Yes, thank you so much for your service and everyone on the line. Just has been some great shares and some great analogies about this 4-step. I just pray God can help me make sense of my thoughts on this. So we got a new guest coming to town. We got a new guest. And what I had to do to fully enjoy that new guest and invite him into my house that was clean was to clean house. I made a decision to turn my will and life over to the care of a power greater than myself, but he can't even get in the door. I got so much crap built up in my house. It's packed full of collections of resentments, fears, dishonesty, manipulation, jealousies, guilts, and I got to get rid of all that stuff. And this beautiful book allows me to do that in one simple step. Well, actually several that start with 4 through 9. But so all of my life was like a white picket fence. My body was, I worked to get a perfect body. I wanted to give the illusion to the world that I was perfect and that I had my shit together. And if I could just get to that Vogue model size and wear those fine clothes and walk around like I was something, then I would have, I'd be happy. I'd get the man I wanted. I'd have the job I wanted. Everything would work out. But I had this demon lurking in the business, in the background saying, "You're unhappy inside, baby. You got to do something about it. Let's have some food." So anyway, long story short, getting through that fourth step, I was shocked at what I found, and I cleaned house. I did vigorous action. And you know what you got to do? You got to get rid of all that big stuff. Well, I'm not going to say you, but me. I had to get rid of all that big stuff, as this book directs. I threw it out, a lot of out on my back porch. Am I going to let it sit there? Or am I going to take it and donate it or give it to the Goodwill or give it to God or bury it in the earth? Whatever it takes for me to let go of all that stuff. And one of the things that helped me tremendously in this fourth prayer, this four-step, excuse me, work, was getting through each section, each column, humbling me and allowing me to see my part in things. This is what helped me to let go of them and to view the people that I thought were my enemies as sick people too. We all struggle through life, and I personally think everyone in the world needs a program, even if they're not addicts, because the a-holes are the hardest people to love, and I used to be one of those because of my eating addiction and my resentments against the world. So this personal house cleaning is vital, and what comes after it? It comes every day we got to dust. When I have company coming to visit, I deep clean, and then what do? I let the dust build up again, but I can't afford to do that in my eating addiction. I'm going to finish up here. I've got to keep dusting every day and staying close to the guest that has taken up residence in my heart, because if I let that dust build up, I won't feel him anymore. So I hope that touched someone and reached somebody. With that, I pass. Love to all.
Christina J. Des M., you're up, followed by Brandy M. Des?
Hi, thanks so much for your service, Jerry. This is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And first of all, I'm just so grateful for all these visualizations, and it totally ties into program because, you know, before I started developing this relationship with my higher power, when I got down to the causes and conditions and cleared the blockage and, like, started that slow development of, like, really an honest relationship, which is going to continue for the rest of my eternity. I was trying to be that like square peg in a round hole and just adapt to learning in one way. And I would just find myself in classrooms. I'm super visual, kinesthetic learner. And I would try to just like read it. Like I'm not very good at just reading it. And that's in the steps why we do it with another and it comes to life and why we're all in this line reading it together and just the visualizations of the dust and the dark room. And this week I had a beautiful experience on Tuesday night. I was actually reading a program book and the power went out and I had just bought this little like tree light thing that was on in the corner. And I was like, oh, and I could hear my neighbors kind of freaking out outside. And I just got to sit there and keep reading. And I was like, okay, God, like, I get it. Like I'm powerless over the electricity. And it's just so up for me right now, my powerlessness. And like to bring this into the day, like if you're new, you know, this works. And just launching into the four step, you know, if you're doing it again, or it's the first time, or like it works. And then it works so much that I get to actually live in 10, 11, and 12 today, and I haven't been able to do that in recovery in the past years. I've never lived in 10, 11, and 12 because I didn't know how and I wasn't willing to learn. I thought that I had to be that square peg. And yesterday at work, you know, I launched, so I was realizing my powerlessness. I know that God is the only solution. It's not fixing the system that I work for. God is the only solution. I made a decision again, you know, that day to turn my will and my life over. And I got to walk through my office and say, I can't, you can, so show me. And in my relationships, they were always like, you know, I'm going to give you this so I can get this. And that's how I thought that safety worked and the semblance of control. I don't know if this is making sense, but it's what's on my heart and I'm going to share it. And, you know, I got to walk through the office and God like carried me yesterday. And I have conditions on my love for myself and others. And that's why I keep launching into this 10th step, which is in essence 4 through 9 every day. When something crops up, and yesterday it was my fear of being trapped and never doing enough, you know, among other things that I got to hash out in some step 10s. And like my higher power just carried me to the place of being able to get through the day and show up and be useful. And I'm so grateful to be useful today. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Des M. We're going to hear from Brandy M. And then after Brandy, we're going to hear a special announcement from Sandy W. Brandy, good morning.
Good morning. It's Brandy M. from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I'm a food addict. And next, we launched out on a vigorous course of action. This is the first step in which we are, which a personal host cleaning. I always like to think of that as like a space shuttle that, you know, it goes quickly. And a vigorous course of action, you know, if I'm going to vigorously work out, it means that I'm working really hard. And up until the, you know, my experience at the Big Book, up until reading this, my 4 steps were always very slow and, you know, could take a very long time. And my experience with doing it this way, the last, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 times, is that it's done very fast. And when I look at a personal house cleaning, it means looking at, you know, why is it that I can't seem to stay abstinent, or that I keep relapsing, or that, you know, I don't understand or feel in my heart, at the heart level, that I'm powerless. And then, you know, getting down to the fact that my weight is only a symptom. Food's not my problem and my weight's not my problem. And so those ideas that I tell myself around, well, if, you know, if I lost weight, then life would be better. If I, you know, was only thin, then maybe I might get that promotion. It's just, that's not my problem. And those things aren't going to come true even if I am thin. You know, it's about my mind, what's going on in my head. And so that's getting down to the causes and conditions, which, you know, resentment is the number one offender. And I had a lot of resentments, and, you know, I let those resentments consume me and take me and stay in my mind constantly. And, you know, when I would perpetuate them in my head and think about them and think about them, I would always, that made me feel super uncomfortable and afraid and all of those feelings that I don't know as a food addict how to handle. So my natural reaction is to go to the food and eat the food because I have no idea how to feel those feelings and they're just too uncomfortable. And so I so appreciate the 4-step. I just did a 4-step, or sorry, 5th step on Sunday. And my experience is I have to go right to 6 and 7 because this time I was asked to do another piece of work and I didn't go straight to 6 and 7. And I'm bitchy and miserable and, you know, food's kind of lurking in the back of my head a bit. And so that's why we have to do these quickly, is because this brings up so many feelings and, you know, revelations about myself. And, you know, I knew I was selfish and stuff, but seeing it firsthand is a little different. And because I can't handle my feelings, that's why I want to eat. And so that recollection yesterday was very good for me because, you know, I will get back into the food if I don't move on with the steps. So thanks for allowing me to share.
And thank you, Brandy M. And now we're going to have a special announcement from Sandy W. Sandy, good morning.
Good morning. Extra, extra. Did you read all about it? Of course, it is the A Vision for You convention coming up November 15th to 17th. It's at the Marriott Hotel and Convention Center at the Newark, New Jersey Liberty International Airport. And if you haven't, you can read all about it on our website, www.avision4you.info. And did you hear the latest news? Registration is extended for an additional week until Thursday, October 31st. Yes, that's Halloween, but this is no trick. All treats here, ladies and gentlemen. So you don't want to wait another day as the clock is ticking. The convention starts in just 21 days and registration closes in 7. Now, I don't know about you, but this will be my first convention. I'd love to be a newbie with you. You know, I had a conflict 2 years ago, but the enthusiasm and the excitement of those who had attended, boy, did it resound so loudly after. You won't want to miss out. I knew I had then. There's still rooms at the Renaissance Hotel, and the Renaissance is conveniently located, convention priced, and has dedicated door-to-door speedy limousine service available to all convention attendees. So one last piece of news. Check out the bulletin board on the website for fellows seeking roommates and other info related to the convention. And now back to our regularly scheduled programming. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you, Sandy W. And yay, we have another week to register. Yahoo! All right. So we're going to hear next, but before we hear from Mary Jane Z, just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 63, paragraph 4, and I'll be taking some more names after Mary Jane Z shares. Mary Jane Z, you're up.
Good morning, Sherry, and thanks everyone for their service. Mary Jane Z here, recovered in Kentucky. Next, we launched on a course of vigorous action. So I've made the decision. I've said the prayer. I've made the decision, and now I've got to act. Act. I'm really on the road to recovery now. And I've been in this program a while, and I've worked several of these 12 steps. Now I understand that I've worked them, and I get to stay in 10, 11, and 12 every day, which is all of the steps. And I've done it. This reminds me of, I've heard it, the rocket launch, and it reminds me of diving into the pool. I'm standing on the edge of the pool, and everybody's in the pool going, come on in. And I've been on that pool, around that pool for a long time. And there's several ways you can get in the pool. You can sit on the side and dangle your feet for a while and slip in a little at a time. Or you can dive right in. And, my first couple of go-arounds, and I apologize. I thought I was in a quiet place, but now the landscape crew is coming by. I sat on the side of the pool, and, I told people I was working on my fourth step, writing my fourth step, and I'd started it, but I hadn't actually looked at it for, weeks. But I told myself the story I was working my fourth step. And 2 years later, I'm still working my fourth step. And finally, I did get it finished, got some relief, but I didn't understand the end. So this last time, it was a vigorous course of action when I got a recovered sponsor. And anytime I balked, she would go, "I thought you said you wanted to recover." And right, I did. And, it was finished. And no one was more surprised when the step 10, we read step 10 and the promises, and she's like, "Are you recovered?" I'm like, "I am." So it takes what it takes, but I've done it both ways. And if you're sitting on the fence, I urge it, quit telling yourself, jump in the pool, jump in, start, do it. It doesn't have to be that painful. It really doesn't. So with that, I'm going to pass because he's coming back around again. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary Jane Z. So we're on page 63, paragraph 4. Who else would like to share this morning?
Mo H.
Gotcha, Mo.
Jackie H.
Gotcha, Jackie.
Patty T.
Gotcha, Patty T.
Mag C.
Two more. Got two more to go. Two more spaces.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn
Joy.
T. And who was that next person?
Joanne B.
Joanne B. All right, we have our lineup. Have Mo H, Jackie H, got the H's going, Patty T, Mag C, Marilyn T, and Joanne B. All right, Mo H., you're up. Good morning.
Good morning, Sherry KB. Thanks for your service and to Team Friday. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive overeater in Walnut Creek, California. Start my timer. Well, I was listening to the early morning meeting earlier, and this paragraph is like the preface to the fourth step. We can't skip this paragraph. And there's two words in here that are really, really important. Number one is next. That doesn't mean sometime or whenever or whatever. And at once. Next and at once. So I don't dilly around. And I thank you, God, for this vision meeting and the study of how to do the 12 steps. It really teaches me how to do them. So once I'm ready. I have to have the perfect pen. No, the perfect piece of paper. No, the perfect desk. I mean, no. Next, start, like jump into the pool, like I heard just said. And we launched out on a course of vigorous action. I mean, this book is just go, push, not in 6 months, not in a year. And I have to look at my part. And I tell you, for a lot of people and for myself, it was hard to look at my part. I wanted to blame others. And I had a sponsee once say to me when she finished the fourth step, "You mean I can't blame anyone anymore?" And I said, "That's right. Once you start pointing the finger at somebody else, three come back at you." So get down to the causes and the conditions. And it's not about my food anymore. I don't have that problem with the food, but it's about my mind. What goes on in my head? And I do my step 10s pretty regularly to get out of my head, to get out of what emotion is coming up, what character defect is coming up, what do I need to work on? And that's the way I do it. And a trick that I've learned recently is to make my feeling like a cloak. And I put the cloak on my body. And how does that feel? How does that irritability or that resentment or that fear feel on my body? And usually it feels heavy, it feels weighted, it feels itchy, it feels scratchy, whatever. And I want to be rid of it. And this step is one of the steps. You know, I heard that one and two are conclusions of the mind, and three is a decision. But four is our action step. We take action. So I'm going to take action, and as I do it, I'm going to throw that cloak off and let it disintegrate, and I'm going to be able to move on. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo H. Jackie H., you're up, followed by Patty T. Jackie?
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you for everyone being here. This is Jackie H., recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic and anorexic in Colorado. The words that stuck up to me, I'm going to talk about in ourselves, blocking us, symptom, causes, and conditions. So the things in ourselves, not anybody else. And as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about the years that I spent with all of these things that were blocking me from being my true nature, which is love. My true nature is love because God created me that way. But all of these things were blocking me from loving other people. They were blocking me from being loved because I wasn't very lovable. And I love poetry. I just love poetry. And I have to read this little short poem by Rumi that kind of tells me about this. It says, "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find the barriers within."
But we don't use any other out-
okay.
information.
Okay. Well, okay. Sorry about that. I love poetry and it speaks to me. So I can talk about it from this point. It's not my business to look outside of me to change other people. It's not my business to look outside of me to look for what's to give me my soothing, and my food and my alcohol or whatever it was just a symptom. It was just a symptom. The real thing was all of the stuff that was inside of me that I needed to get rid of and that was causing my, I've got to get my train of thought back a little bit. I may or may not be able to do that. But anyway, this step, it literally does help me to look inside of myself, remove the blocks that are keeping me from being the true person, the true nature that I am is love, and to receive that love, to give. I spent too many years using this body to harm myself and harm other people. And today, as a result of this program, I actually get to use this body as a tool of communication, a tool of love, a tool of service. And I do that by doing step four and on doing a step 10 daily. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you so much, Becky H. Okay, so we've got about roughly 8 minutes left. So we're going to ask Patty T., Bag C., Marilyn T., and Joanne B. to take 2 minutes each, please. Patty T., you're up, followed by Mag C. Patty?
Yes, hi. Hi, everybody. Thank you, Sherry, for your service. This is Patty T. from Southern California, recovering today by the grace of God. And I just wanted to look at this thing, you know, the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. When I first read that years ago in program, I just read the things which had been blocking us. Because when I got to the fourth step, I thought I had to write about what everything had been done to me because I was still a victim. And today it's so great to see the things in ourselves, in myself, that has been blocking me. Today I'm aware of these character defects and that I don't need to fear them. I need to ask God to help me change them, to flip them over. And this fourth step is the thing that is going to help me do that. The fourth step is going to help me reveal what I need to change in myself. But God is going to do that with me and for me. And then the other thing is, I wrote this last year when we were studying it. It says, which has been blocking us, and I wrote, from God. Because one of you said that. You were specific. What had been blocking us from God. And that's the truth. And, you know, when I get blocked from God, what starts calling? The food. And then the next thing, I'm letting it in the door. And the next, and somebody talked about a new guest. Well, guess what? The old guest has come back to roost. If I'm not doing this vigorous action to find those things which brought me from God. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Mag C., you're up, followed by Marilyn T. 2 minutes, please. Mags?
Hi, sorry, I hit the wrong
okay.
Number.
Go ahead.
This is Mag C. in Denver, Colorado, and I love this prepping for the fourth step, launching on a course of vigorous action. And I know a lot of us on the line, I can only speak for myself. I was so crazy. I was super excited to, like, list all my faults. I was super sad, like, I hurt this person, and I know that you know, that I hurt this person, I was harming this, and I was harming that, and it was a very strange aspect of going through this fourth step where I had to turn that around, and I had to actually analyze what I was really afraid of or scared of, what hurt me soul deep in my self-esteem. And I had a lot of harms that I had done to myself because of the actions, because of this compulsion. Sorry, that's my dog coughing. Because of my compulsions, because of my obsession with food. But when I commenced and I faced that terrible destructiveness that was actually shaming me, keeping me down like a 10,000-pound weight just of lead, just on my shoulders of shame and guilt, and I actually trusted this program and trusted these steps enough to let someone else relieve me and relieve my soul of those actual things that were poisoning me that I didn't even know that I had. Someone once told me, it's like, write down your first 5 or 10 things that you thought you would take to your grave. And write those things down and get them out. It's poison. They're toxins that keep coming up and hurting us. And so you get them out. You let someone else know. No one calls the police. No one laughs at you. No one is going to kick you out of the program. This is the beauty of being able to share our secrets safely. So that's all I've got. Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you, Mag C. Marilyn T., you're up, followed by Joanne B. Marilyn, 2 minutes, please.
Hi. Thank you, Sherry. This is Marilyn T., grateful compulsive overeater in Northern California. I will be maybe less than 2 minutes. Here we go. To me, this is two questions my sponsors asked me. It goes, how free do you want to be emotionally? And until you are free physically, which would be entire absence, you can't get to about to do the business of being emotionally free. And then another one was where the rubber meets the road. This is where, you know, it's all talk. You've made a commitment with your heart and soul. Don't get me wrong on steps 1, 2, 3. But on step 4, this is where you've got to dive into the action. You've got to get rid of all the things that are blocking you. And just again, I'll just stress, it's how free do you want to be? I find that each time that I do this, or each time that I think I'm free, that there's always more to be done. There's always more to be done because you really don't want to take it to the grave. Secrets are destruction. They hurt you not so much as anybody else. They hurt you. So anyway, that's all I have to say.
Joanne T. Joanne B., you have actually 3 minutes. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Joanne B., recovered in Texas. I love this, the way that the writing of this paragraph, there's so many important words and everyone has really said them. So, but one of the things that helped me a lot is seeing, I wasn't able to go quickly through the 4th step, and it wasn't because I didn't want to, but as I had a very ill sponsor, physically ill, and she wasn't able to meet as much as I was wishing. And in that, it was a good thing. But when I got to this place, I found myself relapsing because I didn't go through this, and I didn't have the knowledge of what to do with life. I just had put down my food. And what I love, though, in this is the vigorous action. And I love the word launching. It's like a spaceship. You know, you don't go slow. You know, that spaceship doesn't go slow when it's leaving Earth's gravity. And it just has this great force that shoots you up into the sky and up into the atmosphere and everything. And I love that word. And it is so vital and crucial. And one of the things that really stuck out to me today was that unless at once it's followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in our life blocking us, to be rid of. I had gone through another avenue before I found OA I was able to tell those things and that I had done or that had happened to me, but I didn't learn what to do about it. So I didn't get to look at my own part. I still was that victim. And so this program has been beautiful in teaching me the things that will help me to live life better. And I'm so grateful for all of you. And I do know that I can come to others, even if my sponsor is sick. And I have a big network of people. And with that, I pass.
Joanne B. Well, that's about all the time we have for sharing today. I'd like to thank Team Friday. We have Gracie D., Des M., Don B., Julie E. B., Jordan L., Janice P. M., Reggie O., and Lynn S. for our recording, and Sandy W. for our special announcement today. Thank you all. All right. So we're going to be ending soon, but before we do, we're going to hear from Julie E. B. She's going to be reading, before we close, we're going to be reading on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Julie E.B., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Julie E.B.?
Yeah, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Grieve freely of what you find and find. Join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks.
Thank you, Julie.